Again, we're sitting down here with Matthias. Matthias, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So the last of the themes we talked about was security and certifications. What do we have there?
So we have a lot there, which is already existing in our former operating system versions. But some of these functionality is not well known. So we have tried to present it in a better way and to make it more suitable for customers to use it. One highlight that I want to present and talk about is the so-called YAST Security Center and Hardening Facility. Some people may know the so-called Bastille open source project. Yes. This is a very good project. I tried it myself. I built RPMs out of it, even in the OpenSUSE build service to try it. It has one disadvantage, though. It is not well integrated in our systems management strategy. To give an example, in our complete architecture of the operating system, we have one specific file and technology to limit the amount of setuid root binaries in the operating system. These are the so-called etc permissions file, and you have several files. You have a local file where you can do your own changes to the defaults delivered by Novell. Bastille ignores this file. In effect, it changes setuid bits in the system without consulting this file, so that in the next run of the permission infrastructure via cron, the Bastille changes are reverted, which is not in the sense of security. So what we did is we have now an interface to all the topics that Bastille is targeting, which are compliant to our systems management strategy, so that all parts of YAST, of cron jobs and so on, know about the settings and honor those settings. And we have created a summarizing YAST module, which picks up the parts from security here, firewalling here, and shows a consistent interface to the customer, similar to Bastille. So we did not want to replace Bastille in general. We had not targeted to replace it, but due to the incompatibility with our systems management strategy, which led to less security in the end, we had to go this way, as otherwise an upstream change of Bastille, which is not so well maintained anymore, would have been very difficult. So this is one of the ideas where security and systems management merge and where the value of an enterprise distribution really becomes obvious, we hope.
Really just bringing that one-stop shop security portal into YAST that you can go in and configure. And I like that. I have to admit, the changes that we brought in with just SLES 11 was very nice to have. It was a lot clearer to see where you had in the YAST module, we could just check things on and off. Yes, this is enabled. And then you could dig in and get even more detailed on those. One question I have, though, relative to the security, I've had this question as well from customers with AppArmor. I mean, what's the state of AppArmor, and are we going to be tying it more tightly into some of these, like the YAST modules, the Security Center and such?
Right. So, yeah, AppArmor, we originally bought the company who invented AppArmor, and AppArmor did not have, in the past at least, this changed over the last months, not so much traction in the community. It needed its time to find its place in the community. The reason for that is a political discussion, not a technical discussion, but a political discussion, which happened years ago, where people presented AppArmor as the opposite, the enemy, or an alternative to SELinux.
Yeah.
And this is the clearly wrong positioning for both infrastructures. So AppArmor is a confinement technology, which helps to prevent local and remote attacks, and which also is able to improve security towards external networks, for example, or which can partially prevent broken applications from running wild.
Right.
So you can use AppArmor if you know there is an application which is broken, but where the vendor, for example, does not provide a fix for, so you can go and with AppArmor profile confine this application. This helps you with web browsers, this may help you with web servers, it may help you even with databases in a limited scope. It can help you in the newest version even doing some role-based access. You may know or not know that AppArmor 2.3, as you find it in SLES 11 and SP1, can also do some role-based access control. However, this is only one part of a security module that you can have. It is, though, a very sufficient part for a huge number of customers. Then we have SE Linux, which is a complete different security module. It starts with labeling capabilities which are needed in the file system. This is not a technology that AppArmor needs. And due to that binding to the file system and also to the relatively complex profile that you need to start off with SE Linux, it delivers value only for a limited number of customers which have specific needs toward their security model. So to put it easily, there are two different security modules or ideas behind AppArmor and SE Linux. AppArmor we had in /9 and /10. SE Linux we had very, very low enablement in /9. We had no enablement in /10. With /11 and also with 11SP1, we have so-called basic enablement. This means that we realized that there is a number of customers, as said, not a high number of customers, though there are customers who are willing to invest in their infrastructures in providing and maintaining SE Linux profiles, despite if they are complex or not. So we want to give customers the ability to run SE Linux without patching the kernel, without installing additional non-supported software, and so on, though there is a problem. This problem is that SE Linux is very complex, and SE Linux, in the original idea, wants to limit the scope and the power of the root user. This is one of the topics of SE Linux, which on the other hand means that novel technical services would not be able to deliver service, because without a proper root user, you can't get the support config file information from the operating system, you can't do tracing, you can't do patching, you can't do patch installation, kernel tracing, kdump, or whatever. Everything is impossible in a full-blown SE Linux installation. So that's why we are not fully supporting SE Linux as a default choice.
More like just an enabling for people who know what they're doing. They know they have an environment that needs that very specific security model, that they can use it if they need it, but generally speaking, we're not
right. What we want is what we want is this. Customers who want to use SE Linux should call their Novell sales contact, and this sales contact can make a contact to engineering and product management. And if the customer or partner is able to describe the security model and what he expects from Novell to deliver as a service to him, because in the end, an enterprise subscription is a subscription to receive service from Novell.
Right.
So that's it's all about. If we can't deliver service, then there would be no value.
Right.
So that's why we want customers and partners to call us, discuss the service model that they expect from us when we do SE Linux for that with them, and then we will support it in their specific context. That's the idea of the so-called basic enablement that we say. It means that we will do updates to the SE Linux stack. We have done, for example, a kernel respin. We may have some userland updates also in the future. You may see that. So we do that. But a general support without knowing the context of the customer or the use case is difficult due to the nature of SE Linux. And that's why we are not saying we generally support it in every context. We just say basic enablement, talk to us, let's have an agreement, and we go forth.
I like that. That's a very clear explanation, the clearest I've heard so far. So I'm glad we were able to capture that in this interview. Hopefully get that more widely known and understood.
Thanks a lot for sitting down with Ron and I and telling us about SUSE Linux Enterprise 11SP1.